Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 48.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation chapter 19. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God, and that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who dost sit upon the throne of thy kingdom, thou who dost rule over all things, and from the very beginning, even from eternity, and in the time as thou hast created all things, and shall be to all eternity, King of kings and Lord of lords. And who are we? Lord, thou knowest our wretched and our sinful hearts. Oh, we ought to worship thee. We ought to bow before thee as thy subjects. And we, in our father Adam, have turned away. And we have sought other gods. And we do worship the idols that are in this world, and we have set them up even within our own hearts. Lord, great shall be our judgment and our punishment if we are never converted and turned from our evil ways, that we may come again as thy creatures to bow before thee, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And thou also knowest what our great misery is. For we have ourselves descended into a pit out of which we are no longer able to deliver ourselves. But thou hast sent into this world a Savior that he may seek and save that which is lost. Oh, that thou may then look upon us and upon our dear children, and that thou wouldst save us too. Lord, we have heard a little of it in this morning hour. Oh, then it was just asked of thee. Lord, remember me. Oh, that thou may so look on each and every one of us also, to break our stony and hard hearts, and to bring us again to bow in truth before thee, and to need, to desire, to long for thy only begotten Son, who in our eyes by nature has no form or comeliness. Oh, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him, as he has humbled himself so deeply in the midst of all the nations of this world. Oh, then we need new eyes that we may truly be given to see who that he is, over against who that we are, and all that he has in himself, the great power and the desire and the will to reconcile sinners unto himself, over against what we are, that we have lost all the desire and all the ability. Oh, how suitable a Savior hast thou provided in the midst of this world. Oh, what shall it be for us, Lord, if we shall ever in this life reject him, that there is no need for him. Oh, then great shall be our judgment and our punishment. Many shall be our stripes to all eternity. Oh, the time that is so very, very short. Lord, that thou thyself would look on us and our children in thy mercy. And then especially when it is thy holy day, in which thou hast set aside for that purpose, and that thou wilt restore again those who have departed. Oh, we have come up under thy word. We must confess that it is most of the time, and without the right desire and longing, that it is most of the time just a form and a custom. But thou art able to come over all our shortcomings, and thou art able to work despite us. And thou requirest nothing in us, because there is nothing anymore. Thou hast required it all from thy only begotten Son. And thou art now satisfied with all that he has accomplished. Oh, send thy Spirit then for the application also in this day. Look upon thy dear children. Oh, thou knowest what they stand in need of. In the life that thou hast given to be born in their souls, then they need thee also as King, as we hope to consider together out of thy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, that thou may give them in this afternoon then an eye to behold thee in that office, which is such a comfort and stay for their souls. When the enemy is so mighty, against whom they have no power, but they do have a King. O Lord, remember them then, and look on each and every one of us. Wilt thou, as King of thy church, conquer our wretched and rebellious and sinful hearts, that the people may bow under thee, and may it be also within the nations in which we live, and where the kings of the earth have departed so far from thee, but thou dost sit upon thy throne. All things thou dost govern, and to the good of thy people. Wilt thou look on us in mercy as nations, and do turn us again, and bring us to bow before thee in thy holy word. Be with all those that are destitute and naked and in need in this world, and that have no food and drink and shelter or love. Lord, that thou mayest supply for them also in thy mercy, and give us hearts that do melt also for them, and that our hands also may go open unto the needy in this world. Wilt thou look upon our children, our school, and all that labor therein. Oh, bless the efforts that are used. Remember our young people in the universities and colleges and workplaces in this world. Take them for thine own account. Keep from walking in the ways of sin, that this world may be rejected by us, and that we may enter into the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, also in this afternoon hour to speak and to listen. Oh, be thou on our right and on our left hand, and that thou mayest show thyself feelingly and believingly, and with thy Spirit in the midst of us, to do those wonders that we are not able to perform, in the midst and by the means of the foolishness of preaching. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 76, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor. In beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. We announce to the congregation that a male members' meeting is scheduled for Monday evening, April 25, at 7:30 p.m. to deal with some needs of our Calgary branch concerning their future place of worship. Psalter 76, 1, 2, and 4.
congregation, what was upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung between the heavens and the earth. It was a crown. It was a mock crown. It was a crown of thorns that was for him a double suffering, not only physical, but they have placed upon him in the judgment a purple robe, and they have placed a reed in his hand. They have bent the knee, and they have cried, "Hail, King of the Jews." The chief priests used Christ's own testimony against him in order to make Pilate afraid. "Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Pilate, on the other hand, has used this same testimony to mock with the Jews. "Behold," he says, "your king." And the Jewish people themselves, they have rejected him. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." The Lord Jesus did not speak very much to Pilate. No, he was, in his own judgment, children, like we read in God's word, as a sheep before her shearers. And what was that? Dumb. No, the Lord Jesus did not say very much. Why not? He needed not to come to his own defense, because all this that was in his own power, in his own decree, in his own will. But there were a few times he spoke. And one of those times had to do with his kingly office. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Thus, the Lord Jesus said, "Indeed, Pilate, indeed, I am a king. That is the truth. So I am, so it is, for the great benefit, welfare, and comfort of my church." And this we wish to consider together in this afternoon from the very last part of the 31st question of Lord's Day 12. Thus, Lord's Day 12, question 31, once more. Why is he called Christ that is anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King,
who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. So far, once again, our Lord's Day, and then especially the last part concerning the kingly office of Christ, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, the nature of this kingly office, and second, the experience of this kingly office. The kingly office of Christ in its nature and its experience. It was, of course, a very, very difficult thing for that Jewish people. Because indeed, the Lord Jesus, the way that he did come and the way that he did put himself forth in the midst of this world, was not appearing as a king to the natural eyes of men. He was certainly not the kind of king that Jewish people were expecting. And not only expecting, he was certainly not the kind of a king that Jewish people desired. That is, that he said his kingdom was not of this world, but we are of this world. We are of the earthy, and therefore his kingdom was not the kind of kingdom that Jewish people were looking for. There was a time, and we can read that Jewish people wished to make him a king. Do you remember, children, when that was? Well, the Lord Jesus, he has multiplied the loaves. And then we can read that people, they would come and take the Lord Jesus by force and make him a king. Thus they thought, that is now a man that would make a good king. Because when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, then he is able to multiply all of that food. Once again, then they are so tied to everything that is carnal in this world. And the Lord Jesus, we read that he removes himself from them, and he goes into a mountain place himself alone. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Therefore, he has rejected everything that savored of carnal glory in this world. And why? That was in order to do that work that his father had given him to do. The kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is actually twofold. There is his original authority. That is, he had and has authority that is co-equal with all of the three persons of the Trinity. Thus, it is in this respect that the Lord Jesus was also the creator of the world. We read, by the word of the Lord, and we have read together what his name is in Revelation 19, that he is called the Word of the Lord. Thus we read, by the Word of the Lord, or by the Word of Jehovah. So we have the second person and the first person, were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, and the breath of the mouth of God, that is the third person of that Holy Trinity. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he has
that same co-equal place with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But he also has something else. Thus, in addition to this authority, the Lord Jesus has an authority that has been delegated unto him as a king. We read in Daniel that there was given unto him a kingdom. That is, that it was given unto him by his own Father. And the Lord Jesus has also himself said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Thus, the Lord Jesus, he was made king. He was made king also as the mediator of his church. And he has received subjects in his kingdom, that is, the subjects of the kingdom of God. And it was in this respect that the words of the devil himself were a temptation to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And then we may read how that the devil has showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world, that he has offered to give those kingdoms unto him. Maybe that is a temptation to us also. All the kingdoms of this world, what is carnal, earthly. But we would say, how is that now a temptation to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is not carnal as we. And yet, we read in God's word that it was a temptation. So in what manner was it a temptation? It was in this manner that he was given by the Lord a kingdom. And when that kingdom may be established over all the kingdoms of the world, and when that kingdom that may be so increased to the glory of his own name and to the glory of the name of his Father, that indeed was to him a temptation. But the Lord Jesus, he has in this respect submitted himself unto the electing decree of his Father, that all those who were given unto him of his Father, he would receive. It was necessary, in order for the Lord Jesus to fulfill his task as mediator, that the Lord Jesus would take a position that was in one sense inferior to his Father. We read that he was made under the law. And that is not as a divine being, as a divine person, wherein he remained and remains co-equal. But it is in his office as the mediator of his church. Paul writes, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Thus, he may say that he is equal with God without robbing God, because he was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men,
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Thus, it was necessary that the Son would humble himself in order to be confessed as the King of his church, to the glory of the Father. What does Solomon say? He says, before honor is humility. And so that was also in the mediatorial office of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that the Lord Jesus shall one day deliver up this kingdom that he has received in his mediatorial office again to his Father, in whose stead and for whom that he reigns. Paul, he says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, and that God it may be all in all. For us, that is incomprehensible. And yet it is written in the Holy Scriptures, and therefore it shall be. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king, no matter what it appeared to be in the midst of this world. Our first point, that is the nature of that kingdom. And where shall we begin? Because how much is not now in the nature of that kingdom? How much is there concerning that kingdom that we cannot comprehend, that we can never enter into? We have read just a little bit of that in the book of Revelation. We ought probably to begin with his sovereignty. His sovereignty as king. What does that mean? That means his government that is free from all external control. A sovereign. The sovereign does whatsoever he desires. What does Job say? He says, who shall say unto him, what doest thou? Or do we? Do we sometimes say this? Maybe not in with our mouth, but we say it maybe in our heart. Oh, what is the Lord now doing? What a rebel. What a rebel is man against the sovereignty of God. That was our first sin. Our first sin, when the devil tempted man and said, you shall be as gods. And so man, he has gone along with that temptation of the devil. But it remains. It remains in our fallen natures. That is evident in everything we do. Then we say and we pray, thy will be done. But we do not mean it most of the time. because actually we want our own will to be done. But God is not willing to relinquish his sovereignty. The Lord is not going to come off this throne in order that you and I may reign. No, he who fights against the sovereignty of God cannot win. Who has hardened himself against God and prospered. There is, congregation, one way of peace. And that one way of peace is submission. That one way of peace that is bowing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who will do that? Or we will not do that. No, we may say we will not do that. But it is in our very nature to fight against God. And thus, what a work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord to make a man to bow before this Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The Lord slew the two sons of Aaron. And what do we read? Aaron held his peace. That was his flesh and blood. What do we read that Eli said? It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Similar were the words of David, Job. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is now the work. The great work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And yet that is not yet the sovereignty. And that is part of that mediatorial office of the Lord Jesus Christ as King of his church. There is not a creature of God in heaven, on earth, in hell. There is not a creature of God that is able to have power over the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not only in his creation of the world, but that is now in a special way concerning his redemption. Because he will have a peculiar people in this world. And Satan, with all his might, will attempt to bruise the heel of Christ. But he shall never prevail. It is his covenant with his Father. And he, as king, as sovereign, will fulfill and work through everything that is necessary for the fulfillment of that covenant. The time, the manner of his own death, his own crucifixion that was in his hands. There was not anything that could make it happen one moment sooner. And now how is it with his church? How is it with the gathering of his church? There is nothing that is able to affect the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather his own church. There is no one that can say to him, "What doest thou?" as he is leading each one in his own particular circumstances. Who will say unto him, "How dost thou now lead me over against how thou hast led one of thy other children?" Or who will say to him, as one of the disciples, the servants of the Lord, when he has brought three with him
unto that mount of transfiguration and left the rest behind, to give one a privilege and to withhold that privilege from someone else. No. No, he is acting every moment in his own sovereign good pleasure. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. And what did Solomon say? He says, where the word of a king is, there is power. How is that now? With the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How is it with that mediator? Over whom, over what has he power? Oh, he has that original power. And with that original power, then he may govern all things in the providence of this world, directing everything to a certain determinate end. And he is over all of the elements. And for the sake of his own church, he may speak unto the wind and the storm and say, peace, be still. And with his original power, then he may multiply the food and the drink for the sake of his people in this world. But he also has a delegated power. He was also made the king of his own church for the sake of his church. And then there was a work to do. And when he has received that kingdom, and that kingdom that has many enemies, and the people, they have no power and no might against all those enemies that do come against them. For the Lord Jesus, when he was upon the earth, then he had to experience that he had many enemies. And then his power was also evident. Because those soldiers may be sent by the enemy to take him. But one word out of his mouth, and those enemies, they are stopped, as it were, right in their tracks. They will take him that they may throw him over the brow of an hill. And then the power of the Lord Jesus, without speaking a single word, the power of the Lord Jesus as king, as mediator, doing his labors in this world, that may be so evident, and when he may simply walk away, when he may pass through them, and so go on his way. The Lord Jesus has, in a very special way, shown his power for the sake of his church over the great enemy of that church. Who is that, children? That is the devil. And the Lord has said in the beginning, it shall bruise thy head. And the Lord Jesus has proven his power over Satan so many times. When we can read how that he has with one word cast him out of those whom that he had possessed. And that was a very special picture, because he has come in a very special way to deliver his church. To deliver that church from the power of him who does hold them in the grip of death. That power over his enemies, that was foreshadowed. It was foreshadowed by David. David as king did vanquish, did overcome, did conquer all of the enemies that were round about him. Thus, he was a picture of that conquering Christ that we have read about in the Word of God in this afternoon, whose vesture was dipped in blood. That King of Kings that went forth conquering and to conquer. But David, he has gone forth against that enemy with what weapons, children? With a sling and a stone. And that enemy that was so very, very strong, according to all what we may see according to this life. And then it seemed that it was weakness that has overcome strength. And so the Lord Jesus did come as King in this world, that he has humbled himself, that he has come as a servant, and that he was mocked, and that he was crucified, as if he were one that was just weak and powerless. But his power in the end did show itself in that very weakness. That is the paradox. That is the paradox of the kingly office that has been delegated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest, that I am a king. King that is governing. Governing everything. Who has his end in view. And that everything in this world that may happen, to the most minute details in this world, they are happening for the sake of that kingdom. Or he governs them. And that he as a king may defend his people. The people who are not able to defend themselves. Who have no power against the great company that does come against them. Or is that enemy also too powerful for you? They have a powerful enemy. But they also have a king. He does not give them everything that their heart could wish, because that is not what is best for them. But he gives to them what he knows is for their eternal welfare. And Jezebel shall never prevail over Elijah. And Jezebel shall never prevail over a Naboth. And the Sanhedrin shall never prevail over Stephen. No, the king. The king says, fear not them which kill the body, cannot kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, how little. Oh, how little does that church see its king. Oh, yes, they must labor. They must labor for defense. Labor for the defense of the truth. Labor for the defense of the kingdom. But or how often do they labor without a view to this king? And as a king, not only to defend them, but also to preserve them. To preserve them. What is the difference, children? To defend them or to preserve them? Is there a difference? Oh, yes, there is a difference. Because when we will defend, it is against the enemy that is on the outside. But when we will preserve, it is against the enemy that is on the inside. Maybe your mother does that sometimes too, to preserve the vegetables that come out of your garden. And what will she do? She will cook it first. She will cook it. Why? Oh, then she will kill all of the enemies that are inside, that are able to make it to spoil, are now the greatest enemies for that church. They are not on the outside, but the greatest enemy that is on the inside. Therefore, how necessary that that king, he is not only standing to defend that people, but he is also preserving that church from themselves. It was not only the enemy, but it was also the disciples that needed to be rebuked, else they would stand in the way of their own salvation. Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, ye know not what manner of spirit that ye are of. That is the king, to stop that church from going on in the way of their own devices, because they do not know what is good for themselves. And if there is anyone that the Lord has to hinder, it is the people themselves from ruining everything for themselves. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king, a sovereign king, a most powerful king, a king governing to defend, to preserve my kingdom. And to what end? That there may be peace. That there may be peace. David, a type in his conquering of the enemy. And who, children? Another type, who was the son of David. Great king. Solomon, no more war. No, he was the king of peace. And that is now the purpose of that blessed mediator. When he has come as king in his mediatorial office, then he has come to make peace. He has come to make peace with God. He has the authority to make that peace. He has the power to make that peace as king of his own church. How will he do it? He will bruise the head of that enemy. In his weakness, supposed weakness, he will passively, as a sheep before her shearers, allow himself to be led unto that cross. And so he will give himself that that great enemy may be completely destroyed through death, destroying him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, he had power to do it. And as king, he has gone forward and he has authority and power also to satisfy the justice of his own father, the judge, and his active and his passive obedience, that God may be at peace with his people, that his wrath, that it may be completely taken away. Oh, as king, he has gone forth to do everything that was necessary to save his church. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest. Thou sayest that I am a king, and he remains a king. Oh, that time that is going to come, as we have read together, that work of the mediatorship that will be finished, when that last one that is brought in, and he will deliver up that kingdom unto his Father. But we have also read in the book of Revelation how that he will remain that eternal king of that church, that he may be their God, and that he may receive from them that honor and that glory that is due unto a king. Now, who are their subjects? Who will be their subjects? Oh, they will experience that kingly office. Let us sing 195, 1 through 4. Abundant fields of grain shall wave, all white for harvesting, and boundless joy and gladness fill the city of the King. 1 through 4 of 195.
art thou a king then? And thou sayest that I am a king with a delegated authority to reconcile God unto his creature that had departed from him. But congregation, now there is a second part that is necessary. Not only that God may be reconciled unto that people, but now that that people may also be reconciled unto God. Because in Christ, that church that is received by the Father, that is justified already from eternity, and in the resurrection of the only begotten Son, but while Saul was a chosen vessel of the Lord, yet he was in himself from his side still an enemy of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Oh, what a power is necessary. Even after that the Lord, as King of his church, has finished all his mediatorial labors and has ascended to sit on that right hand of God. What a power is necessary to stop a man in his tracks in this world and to reconcile his soul unto God. That is not a power that belongs to you and I. That is not a power that belongs unto the church of God. No, that church of God, they did greatly, greatly fear this man. There is no power in that church. There is no power in that elect who are lying by nature dead in trespasses and in sins as the enemies of God. But the church has a king. Has a king. And all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Was that ever a comfort to you? When you feel so helpless and so bound in that way of the service of this world and the service of sin in this world, or was the power of that king ever to you that which made you to bow your knees and which gave you to storm that throne of grace? Because the Lord Jesus, he speaks about a strong man armed who keeps his palace and his goods are in peace. And then there is no breaking out from the grip and the power of that strong man armed. But then he speaks about one who is stronger than he, to come and to bind him and to cast him out. Or who does he speak about? He speaks about himself, who has shown his power over and over again unto the Jewish people. And it may be written in the word of God, and for us and our children, wherein the power of that king over that great prince of darkness that does keep us in that grip of spiritual death may be manifest in that word of God. But how now does he work? Our fathers they say, and also to be our eternal King who governs us by his word and spirit. There are people, they think to conquer this world by wars. They think to conquer this world by political decisions in high places of this world. Shall not be. What do we read in the Word of God? The Word of the Lord that is quick and it is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word, where the Word of a King is, there is power. And so that is with that great King. It was evident in the creation of this world. He spoke. And when he spoke, children, what happened? He said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he showed his power. When he came to sojourn in this world, they said it. His word was with authority and not as the scribes. And now that power is evident in the gathering of his church. There are people, they say, we have the revealed word of God. That is now enough. Now we need to obey it. Well, we hope that you try. And we hope that you find yourself, that you find the reality. That we learn the reality. And that with all our trying, we do not climb as the rich young ruler. But at that high and perfect standard of that word, may bring us to see the reality of our state and condition. We need more than the revealed word of God. We need to hear it a second time. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this. Or have we ever heard that word a second time? Has it ever entered our heart with the power of a King? Then we experience the power of that word. Then we are no longer able to let that word go. Then you will say, children, someday to your children, that was the day that the Lord spoke. That was the day when I was reading in that holy word of God. And this is what I read. That was the day that I was sitting in the house of God. And this is the word that I have heard. Because it is a word that has come with the power of the King. Saul had the word too. But there was no profit to that word until the Lord Jesus himself spoke. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what does Paul himself say? That it was the Lord who came with what? With his law. I was alive without the law once. The commandment came. Sin revived. And I died. Thus, the King.
The king has a law. That is the law for his kingdom. They are his commandments. Who are those commandments for, young people? Who are they for? Are they for all this world? Oh, they are written in our heart by nature, and we have lost the knowledge of God. Greatly darkened is that law that is now written in our hearts. And what has the Lord done? He has republished it. And to whom has he given it? He has not given it to everyone in this world. They do not all have it. But he has given it unto his own church. He gave it at Sinai when they came out of Egypt as a representation of that new birth within his kingdom, wherein the Lord is bringing as a king his law into our inward parts. What do you think of that law? What do we think, congregation, of that law of God? What do we think of that law of the king? By nature, we hate it. We hate it. And why do we hate it? Because it binds us. Because it restrains us, young people. Because now I cannot live out the wretched evil that is living in my heart. And every day when I want to go on in the ways of sin, then I have a conscience that is speaking to me. Or could I do away with that conscience? Could I do away with that law, and so that it would no longer speak? Oh, how different that it becomes in the day of regeneration, when that law is convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When that law does show to me who God is and who I am and how far that I have departed from him, when that law is making me to weep in my own secret chamber, every family apart and their wives apart. Oh, and yet that love, the love for that law, though it is so against me, but that is a law that is holy, that is just, that is good. I love thy commandments, David said, more than gold, more than gold. Do we love? Yes, he said, more than fine gold. Oh, then we are grieved to go on as we did before, with the same activities, with the same clothing maybe, with the same conversation that we had had before. Now we are grieved. How much becomes sin? How much becomes vanity when that law of that king, for the love of that king, is coming in our heart? No, that king does not have to force a man. Oh, parents, then you need not say it anymore to your children. Maybe, parents, then our children are making us ashamed. Are making us ashamed. No, that king does not have to force, because he has a willing people in the day of his power. And the service of the Lord is no longer a burden, but that is now their delight. Oh, for the love of the king, they want to forsake the world and every former friend. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest. Oh, thou sayest that I am a king. Is that not so, people of the Lord? Have you not experienced it? Have you not experienced the power, the sovereignty of that king? And now how often have you not forsaken him? How often have you not gone to seek the idols? Days without number. And yet he never forsakes his people. But he is bringing them again with weeping and with supplications. Oh, is that not a great comfort that a church of God congregation has a king? Is that not a great comfort when we are without power that he has power and that he can quicken us? Or will we not then seek the quickening power of this great sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Or is his kingly office not a great comfort for everyone that is oppressed? Oppressed by the power that is in this world? That is not able to deliver himself from the powers of this world, that there is a king that is standing above it. Oh, is that not a comfort for all that are hungry and all that are thirsty? No, not only in this world, but that hunger and that thirst for him, because he is that bread of life and he is able to multiply those loaves and to feed his people. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. Congregation Esther, what a need. What a need that Esther did come in with her people. Death that was before her. An enemy that they could not overcome. Oh, does sin threaten to destroy you also? Forever and forever? What did Mordecai say to her? Esther, go in unto the king and make supplication unto him. May we not say that also in this afternoon hour? Esther feared to go in. Or do we also have such a reverence and such an awe? And do we feel something of our own unworthiness that would give unto us that reverence before that great king? Do you know what she said? Fast for me. Pray for me. And so I will go in unto the king. And if I perish, I perish. Did she perish? No. No, she did not perish. But that king, he did hold out to her the golden scepter. And our congregation, shall that be the act of that heathen king? And shall that not be the act of that King of Kings? Oh, that is the purpose for which he has come into this world. And then he has said it himself, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own word. Wilt thou speak it as a king? For it can come from our mouth, and it can go into our ears, but it needs to come from thy mouth, and it needs to come in our hearts. O speak then, as the King of thy church, show forth thy power in the midst of the congregation, that many may bow before thee, that many may be brought to serve, to love thee. Wilt thou bless thy word, forgiving all that was sinful, and look upon us in the remainder of this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help us in the week to come. We once more lay before thee him who will receive surgery, be on the right and on the left. And wilt thou look upon us, each one in the places that we have to be in this world. Cause us to flee from vanity and to run the race that is set before us, as if there were but one to receive the prize. For Jesus' sake, amen.
125, 1, 2, 6, and 7. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world, and every former friend. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of 125.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.